This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really, truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports car.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money, Taylor. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. WFO Radio. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the WFO Radio Show. I am Joe Costello, and we have got, at very least an hour, maybe some more, of motorsports-wrapped entertainment for you. And if you are the first-time listener and you just clicked the link and you're thinking to myself, what have I gotten myself into? Here's the pitch. Bottom line is we have got a large community of racing fans that gather together once a week or so to talk NASCAR and Formula One and IndyCar, basically whatever's hot, even outside of the racing world, and we would like you to join that community and click the link every week, either follow on Twitter or download the free WFO Radio app and listen to the show if you are a sports talk listener, a racing fan, a podcast listener, a hardcore tech geek. All of those people seem to like the show. I don't even like the word geek. That's kind of a derogatory statement. I'm going to take that back. I ask that be stricken from the record. But other than that, I think you'll like the show. We have done pretty well over the years building an audience of people just like yourself. The people who are against it and they're like, I don't know what this is. Maybe I'll try again. Well, maybe it's okay, I guess. They said something funny. Oh, they talked about Dale Jr. Okay. Oh, they hate Dale Jr. And the next thing you know, which we don't, but you're listening every week. And you're part of the community, and next thing you know, you're living the WFO lifestyle. So if that works for you, check out the show. And it's kind of fun. And we're going to open the phones at some point again today, something we've been doing for the past couple of weeks, and it has been working for us. And you can get on board. We've got a contact page. You can click on it. We send a push notification, et cetera, and so on. Now it's time to talk a little bit of racing and bring into the show. He is a realtor by trade, but he gets together with us on a weekly basis and produces this fantastic radio extravaganza. He is the Giovanni in Miami.
All right.
The realtor. There he is. What's up there, Giovanni in Miami? How was your drive up from Miami today? Smooth sailing?
I wouldn't call it smooth sailing, but I got here, and it was that kind of sailing. There was a lot of water.
There was a lot of water. There's a lot going on as we do the show. It is a weekly show, but we have to do it at some point during the week, and at the point that we're doing the show right now, the semifinal World Cup game between the Netherlands and Argentina is going on, and it is a nil-nil tie.
That's right.
The Americans,
that's the way it's about to end.
Americans,
to overtime end.
They can't get with the whole nil-nil thing.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah. That's a bummer. Now, yesterday's match between Brazil and Alemania, Germany, now that is something Americans can get with. 7-1.
That was great. That was a slaughter. That's kind of like, I don't know, I would refer to that too as like a 49-6 kind of beatdown type thing or something.
Well, they had a breakdown, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
Where they compared it to other sports. And if it was a baseball game, it was like 29-2 or something. And if it was a football game, it was like 80-something to whatever. If it was a basketball game, it was like 420-something.
No, I don't know about 80-something. I think they're exaggerating a little because
I think they did average.
You could get a 3-1 soccer game, and this was just – and you don't – that wouldn't be considered a 41 to, you know, touchdown, you know, like that.
Well, according
I think
to
I would
their
say,
averages.
Well, according to their averages. From watching the sports, I would say, like, what happened yesterday was one of those old-school Super Bowl beatdowns that there used to be all the time, like the Niners and the Bills or whomever was playing the Bills one of those years.
I think this was worse. But it doesn't even matter. Because
I mean, it's simple. Brazil quit.
They did.
They did. No, they quit. You don't allow 4 goals in 6 minutes.
I don't want to
quit. I didn't even know you could score 4 goals in 6 minutes in this sport.
Nobody did. This was the worst ever. This was the worst that has ever happened by the host country, as far as I understand it. The greatest embarrassment ever experienced in the World Cup.
But anyway, enough about soccer.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But the point is, the reason I bring it up is the game is on here, and if there is a goal scored, we will mention it. If. Unless they get the penalty kicks, in which...
Then we won't mention it.
It will be...
Until after it's done.
Why not?
Well, we're not going to sit here and narrate the penalties like, oh, he made one, he missed one, he made one, he missed one.
I think I would. If it happens, I'm going to say it.
All right, well.
It will be in the past, though, when people are listening.
Exactly, that's why.
So
no
what's
sense
the,
in giving play-by-play.
Well, see, that's the thing, is the whole point is it's all in the past. That's our format here on the program. All right, speaking of the past, we're not here to talk about the past, but we are here to talk about the Coke Zero 400, where Eric Almirola, another driver, is on the block, and
wow.
Joe Costello picks another winner. That's right.
What are you talking about?
Last week, I picked Eric Almirola. Remember?
No, I don't.
Remember I said that sometimes strange drivers win this race? This is
That was you saying that Almirola was going to win.
I was hedging. Yes, my hedge was that drivers out of the mainstream somehow find a way to win this race. You didn't pull the audio?
No, of course
not.
Oh,
my gosh. I feel like I nailed
the pick. I don't
remember
you saying that, but no, that doesn't count as nailing the pick.
No, I know.
Because I think that was a very vague statement, number one. And number two, it's not as drivers out of the ordinary win this race as you think, but...
And yet, the prophecy comes to pass after the big one and then the bigger one. Those were big crashes. I got to give credit. But really, though, how do I say this? The whole race was ruined. Really. First of all, the rain on Saturday night just killed the buzz.
Yeah, it poo-pooed on the party.
It really did. It's a Saturday night party. I'm on there. You have to understand, I consider myself liaison, or I'm trying hard to bring people who are not racing fans into the world of racing.
You're almost a promoter.
Almost an unpaid promoter. And or just unpaid. I go on a couple of different shows. I do different things, which is fun. This past week, I went on our great friend Mark Eisenberg's show, who I used to do the show here in Miami with. And I go on every Friday on 640 Sports in Miami. And we do a segment where we talk about everything. Sports, we talk about whatever's hot, and make NASCAR picks like we do on this show. And I was hyping it up. Daytona, this is going to be huge. There's nothing else going on. Saturday night, you guys need to watch. It rains.
And
the biggest buzzkill going, because no matter what's going to happen in another sport, chances are it's at least going to happen. And so maybe some first-time fans decided to get on board with the sport and check it out, and it was just a total rainout, thunderstorms, no pit reporters, nothing.
I guess a baseball game could get rained out.
I guess.
In some stadiums.
And so that was a bummer. Then on Saturday, on Friday, I did the show, and that was it. Saturday, I went on NBC Sports Radio nationwide to do a couple of hits about the race. And I answered the typical questions, what they were and what was going down and the race and Danica. And I gave my typical, high quality spiel and got people very interesting. I was on the Brian Weber show. And they were asking me all kinds of questions, and I got them hyped up, baby. It was awesome. It rain out.
Incredible.
It's just so aggravating.
Yeah, I recall you did that at about 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Yes. Which at that point, I could have really just gone on the air and been like, yeah, the weather looks crummy. Don't even bother. That's what I could have said. And it's just such a super buzz kill. So then on Sunday, the race goes off at 11 a.m., and everyone else is, your whole life is built around the Saturday night race. Which doesn't happen, and now you have to alter your Saturday night, or your Sunday afternoon, which I'm at. Where were you? I was at a swimming pool, there was a bar, and the race is on at the bar. And so suddenly everything is altered, and I'm sure all you fans out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Whether your husband has made plans for you to do something with the kids, and you have to go along with it, for all you ladies out there, or vice versa. So the just enveloping yourself in the sport the way you're supposed to doesn't quite happen.
Agreed. But what are you going to do? It is what it is.
And then,
what? Did you pull out the TV?
Two of the biggest crashes. Yes, well, it was. And two of the biggest crashes take out every driver of interest.
Well, the first crash took out every driver of interest. And I think at the moment we might have pointed out, I don't know, I think if it was you, might have pointed out how it took out all the past champions for over a decade.
Yes, every champion since 2001, minus Kurt Busch, who...
Well, so you could say for even 10 years, I think Busch won in 03.
Maybe. Yep. Unreal. You only get Daytona twice a year.
Yeah. It kind of ruins it for me when the races rain out, and it also kind of ruins... I don't want to poo on Eric Almirola, but when somebody like that wins, it's kind of like anticlimactic. But...
Under rain delay.
That's really what it was.
So the race was basically robbed for us. He's on the block. If you're a Richard Petty racing fan, of course, yes, you're happy. You're super stoked. The 43, that whole historical line.
No, I think it's good. It still counts, but I got a question for the fans out there. Would you have preferred for them, even though this race was delayed from Saturday, to do everything they can and continue to try and dry that track, with being that they have lights and they have
Saturday
these
night.
New Super Air Titan? Would you have preferred that they continue to try to run that race or just call it as is? What do you think?
Oh, what do you mean? Almirola?
Well, I know what Almirola.
I mean, like,
but
like,
what about just in general? Should NASCAR have continued to try to race?
On Saturday night?
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Oh, yeah, they called the race at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
Now, I know a lot of fans already would have pictured themselves on home on Sunday or headed home on Sunday.
We've waited all this time. We've gone through all this, and then we get shortchanged. We came back the next day. We blew off our plans. We arrived at the track. The race is going on. You've made us wait this long already, and then you pull the plug. But then again, the weather wasn't great. The radar was very spotty.
And it was like that Monday, too.
Yeah. So that's the thing. We've just been having crazy weather down here. Eric Almirola wins the race. We got a lot to get into. We got to move because the Racing Team Association has been formed, and NASCAR will never be the same ever again. That sounds very ominous. I don't know if it's true or not. Eric Almirola wins the race. Brian Vickers second. Kurt Busch third. How about that for a podium? Vickers. Wonder if all you had to do was have him. Maybe Rich of the Dirty Hippies had him. We'll find out when the fantasy results come out. But let's hear from the newest winner in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, a driver that we have been talking about his upside for a long, long time. Definitely deserves to be there. I believe if you go back to your list of drivers we think are capable of winning.
He is not on there.
No, but he had a super asterisk that I felt like he
was
capable
Kyle Larson.
Of winning. Eric Almirola. Definitely capable of winning, but hadn't won yet. Now he has won. He is on the block, bringing Richard Petty and the 43 to the playoffs. Let's hear from Eric Almirola.
It's obviously really special. I've told everybody outside, and I'll say it again, but I couldn't have dreamed of a better place to get my first win. I said it last week. I went to Tampa to do a lot of pre-event media for Daytona, and I said, man, of all the places I could pick to win, I would pick Daytona because I grew up 2 hours away. I've sat in these grandstands and watched the Daytona 500. I've watched the Firecracker 400s. Me and my family have loaded up every Christmas in Christmas night after we'd eat Christmas dinner. And we'd drive over here and get ready for kart week from the time I was 8 years old till I was probably 16 years old. I'd race right outside this racetrack at the municipal stadium go-kart racing and would always come over here and check out the big racetrack. You know, that's what everybody always talked about. And as a young kid coming over here and watching, it just – dreamed about what it'd be like to have a chance to race at the highest level at this racetrack. And not only have I done that, I've went to Victory Lane and you know, all the history behind the car and the race car and stuff. I'm very appreciative of that and very cool. I think it's very cool that, we won on this weekend. It's 30 years to the weekend that, the King won, his 200th race with the president here. So that's really special, but, I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit selfish, and I'm more worried about the fact that I've won my first cup race. So it's just so cool, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity that Richard and our owners have given us at Richard Petty Motorsports to go out and to try and be successful. And our sponsors have really stepped up in a big way, and you know, it's just really gratifying to be able to give back to you know, U.S. Air Force and Smithfield Foods and all the sponsors that you know, took a chance on us and on our race team, on me as the driver, and to now be able to get them to victory lane, to be in the chase, and to be able to go race for a championship. It is really special, and our race team deserves that. We got a lot of guys that show up to work every morning at 6 o'clock and give their heart and soul to build the best race cars they can. So I'm so excited for those guys, you know, just as much as I am excited for myself.
Eric Almirola, the Cuban Missile.
On the block.
On the block.
That's 11 on the block.
Exactly. And that is what is cool about it, that a guy like that is now not guaranteed, but virtually guaranteed a spot in the championship playoff. Right?
Well, I think he's, yeah, I guess virtually is.
Virtually. You got to leave that
there's
open.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 races left before the chase starts.
Very interesting. Now,
and five spots, 7 races. So if 6 different winners win here, then it would put the points into play or what have you.
He's in.
I think he's in.
He's in.
11 on the block. Who's up next?
Now, you can tell he's a first-time winner because he does not know how to talk in appropriate sound bites.
Nope.
It's like a 3-minute clip, Eric. Come on.
About 2.5 minutes, actually.
Give the reporter
yeah,
something
come on,
to
a
ask
minute.
You.
He's got to go in minutes. Give you a minute and then let them ask a question and then a minute. We should start our own media consulting company.
I've been wanting to get into the media consulting game for drivers for a long time because I know exactly what they need to be doing and they're not doing it. And that's a perfect thing. Like, you're the driver. You know what they're going to ask. You know what they're going to ask. Give them something to ask you. Is it special winning your first race? Now, he threw that in there. How about the Bacon people, the Smithfield? It's a win for Bacon. It was all over the internet.
A win for Bacon is a win for everyone.
A win for Bacon is a win for everyone. Brian Vickers was second. Kurt Busch third. Casey Mears fourth. Austin Dillon fifth. Sixth with Denny Hamlin. Michael McDowell seventh. Danica Patrick eighth. Another
Woo!
Top ten for Danica.
Danica, way to go, Danica.
Ninth, Clint Bowyer.
A lot
tenth,
of guys
Marcus
looking
Ambrose.
Up at Danica.
Yeah, these are the drivers that are looking at Danica's rear end. When I was on the NBC Sports Radio show, I got to drop the who's looking at Danica's rear end. We might have some people listening right now.
Oh, yeah? What, did they like it? Did they go? Did they think it was...
I believe they felt it was clever.
Clever. That's
clever.
A very appropriate term.
Right. It's obviously, it's a goof. You know, clever. Looking at Danica's rear end. Who doesn't like that? Clint Bowyer's looking at Danica's rear end, and Marcus Ambrose is looking at Danica's rear end, and two-time champion Terry Labonte. Two-time? Looking at Danica's
yes,
rear end.
Yes, two-time. He stole one of Jeff Gordon's
Jeff
at the end.
Gordon is looking at Danica's rear end.
Four-time
and Alex
champion.
Bowman and Dale Jr. and Martin Truex Jr. was 15th.
All
and
those
Paul
guys
Menard and Joy is looking at Danica's rear end. And Brad Keselowski is looking at Danica's rear end. And Michael Waltrip and Matt Kenseth and Michael Annette and David Reagan and Josh Wise, who was 23rd, and Ryan Newman, 24th, and Justin Allgaier, who was my C driver, bad pick, was 25th. Looking at Danica's rear end, so was Bobby Labonte and Casey Kane and Kyle Busch and Greg Biffle and Jamie McMurray.
Ah, I had McMurray.
Me too. Landon Castle was 31st, and looking at Danica's rear end, so was Ryan Truex and Reed Sorensen and Cole Whitten, basically everybody. David Gilliland and Kyle Larson and Carl Edwards and Trevor Bayne and Kevin Harvick and Tony Stewart and her boyfriend Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 41st, and Jimmy Johnson was 42nd, A.J. Allmendinger was 43rd, rounding out the field. Those are the results.
The boyfriend, he was a little bit there, wild buckaroo, as yeah. T. Stewart would say.
Trying to be a superhero 500 yards from a competition caution, I believe was the quote. And the tweets that went out, many from the web rocker, that Danica needs to teach her boyfriend how to drive. I'm not making it up. That's what's out there in the Twittersphere. So, interesting stuff. Everybody crashed. Everybody was involved in a crash. It's not supposed to go like that. It is what it is. That is the result of the style of racing. You want this kind of pack racing, you're going to get big crashes. Ricky Stenhouse just lost it. He just lost it. And that's that. Crash.
At the time, I thought it was just a racing incident. But then when I analyzed what Tony said, it kind of does make sense. Like, okay, but what was he doing that he lost it 500 yards from competition caution? Why wasn't he backing off at all? Why? Who knows?
Here's what I really think. I think that these cars are hard to drive, even though they don't look it.
Right.
And he just lost it.
No,
maybe
the track,
maybe
probably
he mentally relaxed.
Green with all the rain and all that, too.
Maybe so. He mentally relaxed for a moment. Hey, we're coming to the competition caution. All right, I can ease. Oh, I crashed.
Yeah, that's
part of
it, takes.
Too. Maybe he wasn't trying to be a superhero. Maybe it was exactly the opposite. Regardless, the Coke Zero 400 and the final Daytona race of 2014 is in the books. That's it, folks. It's over for Daytona. And the Daytona Rising Project is ongoing. Next time you arrive at Daytona, it will be a totally different place. All right, when we come back, we're going to open the phones. We got to talk Formula One. There's some IndyCar. I had a great experience last night with the Daryl Gwynn Foundation. I got to hang out with Emerson Fittipaldi. I'll tell you all about that. And Giancarlo Fisichella, former Ferrari driver.
I heard about
that. So I was very close to the whole Ferrari team. A lot of cool stuff. Our great friend Joey Coulter was also there. Big things happening. We'll tell you about that. We'll do Fantasy League results. But first, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Okay, folks, it's summer. And I know wherever you are in the good old U.S. of A., you probably got the barbecue going. Marvin Rodak is a big WFO listener, big NHRA fan, but his primary deal is award-winning barbecue guy. He also roasts his own blends of coffee. We got hooked up with Marvin because he sent us those bacon recipes on the NHRA Nitro show. We were brought together by bacon. Yes. And he sent these great bacon recipes, and I said, Marvin, this is something that the WFO audience wants to get on board. And now he is a sponsor. You got to give him a call. 817-924-6821, or go to WFOradio.com, click the banner ad, or go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com and check out everything they've got. The award-winning barbecue rubs, they've won awards in Texas barbecue contests, and they are fantastic. The coffees, bang the blower. Obviously, it's a drag racing reference for something very intense and extreme.
And it gets us up for the show.
Well, Giovanni, you just experienced bang the blower.
I feel like Tweak. I feel like Beavis when he went into, almost turned into cornhole.
I don't know if that's the best way to sell it. How about the flavor? Wasn't it flavorful and wonderful? And
all right, I'll be honest with you. I've never really drank coffee much in my life. Maybe one cup a year for the previous 40 years of my life.
Yes.
So I'm not the biggest coffee connoisseur, but it's fine by me. I think it's great.
Bang the blower.
Bang the blower.
How about that for an endorsement? 817-924-68.
But look, it's got me drinking coffee. That's how good it is.
Exactly.
Tweak.
Exactly. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They also do hot sauces, which the hot sauce is fantastic. What is the best about this is that if you want to go a little WFO and you want to get on board with WFO and you want to support WFO radio and you are in Australia or the Middle East or somewhere around the world, they can ship this to you. You can order either Bang the Blower or Nitro Fuel or any one of their custom blends. You could order some coffee wood for grilling and smoking and get all summer on everybody. You could get all American summer on everybody with RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The way I would do it, you can go to the website and you can click to purchase coffee and you can order online, or you can give them a call, 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO radio. Those guys are talking about you, and they say to send me something good. And Marvin knows what he does best. He's got a whole bunch of great stuff. He's been setting me up with different stuff like the hot sauces I didn't even know about until they showed up in the mail, and I'm like, woo! I had them with my breakfast today.
With breakfast?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't normally put hot sauce on my breakfast, but
Eggs over medium.
Oh, okay.
With the habanero sauce to just really get me going. And it was awesome. You take the toast and the eggs and the sauce and you mix them all together. It was outrageous.
Sounds like Southwestern style.
Exactly. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Hit the website or give them a call, 817-924-6821. Tell them you heard it here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's eagle is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
So, lots to get into. It is still nil-nil. For those of you who are interested in the World Cup, you got the fever. Look what I have, Giovanni, here. Look what I have.
Envelopes.
I have two envelopes. I went over to the P.O. box and found a couple of envelopes over there, and I have them here, and I decided to open them on the air. I figured that would be thrilling and exciting for the audience. Isn't that thrilling and exciting?
They love it.
But you know what else I'm going to do before we go any further? This is something that we've been doing now for the past couple of weeks. And it makes the show. Oh, no. Oh, boy.
What, you were going to talk to the first time girl that sent the selfie?
No, I was going to open the phone lines.
Oh, okay.
I was going to open.
Whoa.
But it was still set up for Poker Action Line.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
The poker show that we do right from here from these studios. I wonder how many of the WFO radio audience are actually Poker Action Line listeners, if any. I like the program. I think it is great if you are a poker person and you really enjoy it. Look at all these things, man. People calling, things happening.
All of these things.
All of these things. Rich and Saugus, Giovanni in Miami. Why are you calling the deal? There's lots of stuff going on. Wednesday, July 2nd, all kinds of stuff going on.
That was last week. I didn't call it.
We got voicemail messages. I am a little confused and perplexed.
I don't think I left a message.
Yeah, very strange, very strange.
I don't feel like if I left a message on the phone.
But what I'm going to do is send the push notification right now. The push notification says, the phones are open, let's get it on. Are you ready?
Let's get it on.
There it is.
I didn't get mine.
Well, it's going out right now. And the folks at AppBurst, they made it so much easier. Now the push notification goes to the Androids and the iPhone application all at once. So
oh, that's wonderful. Don't have to send two.
There it is. I got it.
I got mine, too.
So we'll see what happens.
Let's
The phones are now open.
I feel like Marvin Gaye.
Exactly. Now, before we get into the whole NASCAR has just formed a union, even though it's not really a union, it's an association. And it is going to perhaps change the way the sport is governed or officiated, potentially, or maybe not, whether it is a good idea or a bad idea. I'm going to open these two envelopes because one is very cool. One is from our great friend. Like this first one is from, look at that. Look who it's from. I think it will be exciting to our listeners to know that you can get free.
You want me to announce it?
Is this like an
award show? Oh, Little Low.
Little Low.
Little Low.
And it looks like he took the time to write out the envelope
himself. It definitely does. He writes almost as good as I do.
This better. This little, yes, he's got.
No, because you know what he's got as a kid. He looks like he's got the shakes, and I don't have that yet.
No,
when I write,
you have it. Yes, you do have it.
No, I have it when I speak, not when I write.
Interesting. The shakes. I think he did a really good job.
I'm not saying he did a bad job.
I don't know why you're going after Little
Lil. I even just said that he almost writes as good as I do.
He's better.
That's a compliment. No, you see that. Now, that would be an exaggeration.
And he even got it. He even got the care of WFO Radio. And if you are the first-time listener, if you want some free WFO Radio stickers, you just have to send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. And you see Little Lil lives out there in Tucson, Arizona, home of Rudy the UPS guy and Alan Reinhart. It's probably pretty cool out there. So I use my very cool mail opener to reveal the envelope, please. What do we got? It is?
While Joe opens the envelopes,
what do I think it is?
It's a self-addressed stamped envelope.
It's a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Yeah,
sometimes there's a correspondence or something in there, which I like.
Those guys call with their correspondence.
But look at this, though. There are three forever stamps.
Wow.
So does that mean I can put in the triple the amount of stickers that I normally
put in?
There it is. Little Lo's Jinkones. How cool. So Little Lo will be getting some stickers.
Way to go, Little
Lo. Fill them up. And let's see, who's this
Maybe
other
person?
Maybe
he's got a little race car that he could put them all over. That one does not have a return address. That one just says Castello Media in bold letters.
Yes, but you know where they're from? They're from Humpty Doo.
Say what?
Yeah, look at the back. Dean. And
oh, it does have a return address.
Yes. I think that's the one that maybe came all the way from Australia. Humpty Doo. That doesn't
That
sound
makes
like
sense because it's got some NT, like Northern Territory
Northern,
or something,
exactly.
And only four digits.
Send it back
as
here.
The code. There, I'm flipping it back at you.
You're flipping it back.
And envelope too.
Exactly. Well, I'm struggling
with
this one.
Those of you that get it, get it. No, I see you. I mean, you're dying over here.
Well, it does give me a renewed appreciation for those folks. Oh, look, see? Oh, I told you. First
of
all,
this one's got lots of stuff in it. I see. What is that, like a CD, a DVD, some kind of it's a sticker.
It's a sticker. Hey, Joe and Gio.
Pilsner, I've never seen that one. That must be better than that stuff they sell at the Outback.
Good day from Oz. Here's a sticker for a sticker. It's a beer from Bali. I am returning the returned letter. Love your show, says Dean. And look at this. We got a cool sticker. This is going up in the studio. Bintang. 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 It's trademark. It is a Pilsner. Right? That's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
And here is the original WFO stickers envelope. Within this envelope, there is another envelope. This is like one of those Russian dolls. And look at this. Northern Territory, Australia, Humpty Doo.
What am I, some kind of genius?
NT. Who knew?
I did, obviously.
And look, there is a boar.
Ha! Don't ever doubt me again.
And you know what that is? That's not an alligator. That is a croc.
It's a Crocodile Dundee.
It is a croc and then a big fish from Humpty Doo.
Absolutely.
And there you have it. So, Dean, thank you very much. You will be getting stickers, and you're getting stickers, and you're getting stickers. I'm like Oprah. Everyone's getting stickers.
You turned into Oprah on it?
Yeah, everybody's getting something.
Oh, that's great.
All you have to do is send a self-addressed stamped envelope. So that went very well. That was a very successful part of the show. We should probably just wrap it up right there.
All right. See you later, Costanza. I'm out of here.
A lot of big NASCAR news, things to discuss, one of which is this new NASCAR association. And let's dig down on that a little bit because it's...
Sounds like a union to me.
It's not, though. It's an association.
What's the difference?
A union is for employees who are under the boot of their employer.
My marriage is referred to as a union. Which one of us is the boss?
She is, from what I understand.
And how come I'm not getting paid?
Happy wife equals happy life. That's what I hear. But this is just from ESPN. The top nine teams in NASCAR have, for the first time, formed a single entity to collaborate on initiatives and issues facing their sport. The Race Team Alliance, or RTA.
It's even got an acronym and everything.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a union to me.
Was announced Monday, and Michael Waltrip Racing co-owner Rob Kaufman was elected chairman. The goals of the RTA include lowering costs for NASCAR teams and creating one voice on issues facing the teams. Kaufman insisted the RTA is not a union.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
I don't I don't like something that's going on here that, let me go to his quote. Let me keep on going. Calling it a union would be incorrect. A union would be for employees, Kaufman said in a phone interview with the Associated Press. The right way to characterize it would be a business alliance. Unions are about employees directly trying to negotiate something. The RTA is pooling together to look at things that we can be doing better. No one is looking to start a fight or be controversial. Okay, first of all, my goodness, the word union, I don't think it should be that controversial. Now, Bill France pulled out a gun and threatened. This is according to historical record, by the way. I'm not speaking out of school here. Threatened drivers
at
the suggestion of forming a union, okay? Second of all, you know, police have unions and firefighters have unions. And the reason unions were created, and I know sometimes they get a little too much power and they get, you know, it's about back and forth and whatnot, was because people were locked in working conditions and, like, burned to death. Because they were forced, children were working. That's what unions were originally formed because. And yes, there's all kinds of back and forth. But I don't think it should be that controversial that, oh my gosh, everyone freaks out. I think that is a modern era political creation. That the first thing that anyone wants to say about it is, it's a union. Because they want to cause Big Bill to roll over in his grave. It's not about what they're going to accomplish with this association. It's about, hey, there's a union. that's what people are going with the story. The whole political side of it, whether it's a union or not a union, it's not a union. Should there be a union? Could there be a union? Could there be all the guys on Pitt Road who work together and they're working like 80 hours a week, get together and form some sort of something?
That
they go to their employers and say, hey, guys, like 90% of us are getting divorced because our wives are all alone all the time. Can we work out something where we don't have to work 90 hours a week?
Is the UPS man coming by and are they ordering a lot of packages from Amazon?
Lots of Amazon packages coming through.
I know I'm probably really late to the party, but I just saw that episode.
Me too. That's a South Park reference, folks. Now, that would be a union, and do they have the right to do that? You know, who knows? Would Big Bill roll over in his grave? I don't know. I don't work for NASCAR. Should the divorce rate amongst NASCAR crew members be like 90%? I don't know. If you got married to someone who wasn't around 95% of the time, and when they were stressed out and tweaked, maybe you wouldn't stick around either. But this is the business we've chosen, and that is a battle for another day. This is an alliance among businesses.
Of course, that's what it is.
There is one in Formula One. The Formula One Teams Association, FOTA, which we hear renewing their charter every couple of years, and they're always threatening to pull out. And it is a counterbalance, is what it is, to the power of NASCAR. For the very first time, there is a counterbalance to NASCAR. NASCAR has always been considered a quote-unquote, again, not speaking out of school. That's a Reinhardt line, by the way, speaking out of school. A benevolent dictatorship. That has been what NASCAR is. A single family owns it. It is run by single people, and it is a benevolent dictatorship. Basically, if you step out of line, this is what will be told to you. NASCAR doesn't need you. You need NASCAR. And Larry McReynolds tells this great story about how once upon a time he was complaining, and then someone came over to him. I think it was Mike Helton, but it might have been Bill France Jr., and said, hey, Larry Mack, how you doing there? That's your motorhome over there in the pits, right? Hey, that's your kids going to school, right? Yeah, you're not missing any meals, right? You're doing something you love, right? Well, just so you know, NASCAR doesn't need you as much as you need NASCAR. And, of course, he immediately stood at attention and saluted and walked away and realized, well, that is in fact true. That's what happens in the benevolent dictatorship. You, as the person who is the cog in the machine, have no say or rights or anything over the power that controls the machine. Now, there is some sort, what kind of power do they have? Who knows? Of counterbalance. These teams have joined together and have basically said for themselves, we need to control something and have some sort of power as a collective. Now, I've been doing a little research of what brought this about. First of all, this was a big secret, apparently. No one had leaked this, but anytime, what is it, 9 teams get together and agree to form a charter of an organization, that means people know. But the media did not get their hands on this. This was not rumbling. There was nothing that got out. It has been considered one of the best kept secrets in NASCAR.
I would say.
And now these organizations are going to get together, and some people have speculated that the reason is all the talk about the engines. Basically, over the past however many years, NASCAR has spent a lot of the team's money. You're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to change this, you're going to change that, you're going to change the cars, you're going to change the package, you're going to change all of these things, et cetera, and so on. And now they're talking about changing engine combinations. And the teams, I think, just said, we have to control something. We have to have some juice somewhere.
So this is a power play.
And rightfully so. Don't you think that they deserve to have some say?
Absolutely.
Their organizations that they are creating are worth nothing. They're really worth nothing. These entities are worth nothing.
No, they're a bunch of depreciating assets.
Exactly. And this is the argument. The argument for franchising has been made off and on for the past 10, 15 years. And the reason is when you buy into NASCAR, you have nothing of value.
You have old parts.
Old parts. And whatever sponsorship agreements that you have inked. But that's it. And as soon as those sponsorship agreements go away, you're worthless. You got a contract with a star driver, Jimmy Johnson, and you got a contract with Lowe's. You've got something of value. Jimmy Johnson gets squished by a meteorite flying out of the sky, and Lowe's decides they don't want to sponsor the new driver. You've got nothing. That is probably unacceptable to a bunch of businessmen plunging millions and millions of dollars and time and effort and their lives into this sport at some point, especially when they look at Formula One and they see a team like Caterham come in and suddenly you got something that's worth that's of value. And NASCAR, you don't. And even though these guys are multimillionaires, they are in a way being held down by that. What is the point? And so I think that this is the first step. So Kaufman says, no one is looking to be controversial. The RTA currently includes Chip Ganassi with Felix Sabatis, Hendrick Motorsports, Joe Gibbs, Michael Waltrip, Richard Childress, who was part of the original union breaking crew. I don't want to say union breaking, but he went out and ran at Talladega when people felt like it was going to be unsafe. That's how he got in with the France family. He was part of the second tier group that when the star driver said, hey, man, this track is coming apart and it's unsafe and we don't want to risk our lives, Big Bill says, somebody's getting out there. Richard Childress says, I'll go. But now he's part of this association. Richard Petty Motorsports, Roush Fenway, and Stuart Haas and Team Penske. So
everyone.
The bigs. Kaufman said the top goal of the RTA, which is operated with bylaws and an executive committee, is to bring in the remaining Sprint Cup teams that are not currently members. The next most important teams on the agenda, according to Kaufman, is working on cost-saving initiatives related to travel and buying power for parts and communicating with one voice the NASCAR team's ideas on testing. There is this saying, it's called divide and conquer. Have you ever heard of that? Divide and conquer? You've heard of divide and conquer?
Sounds like war games to me.
Well, divide and conquer just is, first of all, I know you've heard that.
Of course it is.
Second of all, it is based in, it's easier to beat, to impose your will on a group of directionless voices as opposed to one formed, focused entity. That's all. United we stand, divided we fall. There's so many different cliches and statements that are based on the same thing. If Joe Gibbs wants this, and Richard Childress wants this, and Toyota wants this, and Chevrolet wants this, and everybody's in the different direction, it's easy for the benevolent dictatorship to just impose their will. That's why this entity had to be formed. And it has been formed.
And, yeah, welcome to the party.
And they will, I believe, be able to negotiate things for themselves. Like, what would they possibly want? What would they want? Well, let's see.
What do you think they could want?
Well, they want cost savings. They want to communicate. Roger Penske's thought was, let's go for the low-hanging fruit. So first of all, immediately, let's go for, right there, there's stuff that they want that NASCAR has not been addressing. They feel like they haven't gotten things from NASCAR that NASCAR should have been addressing. Let's go for the low-hanging fruit, said Kaufman, who retired at the end of 2012 from Fortress Investment Group, where he was one of three founders. Kaufman said the RTA will also discuss health care and benefits for employees. Healthcare and benefits for employees. One of the projects out of the chute is all of these teams get a lot of hotel rooms on a weekly basis. Well, gaining a hotel partner might help with that cost and provide some flexibility. When you put on a lot of smart people in the room, you can come up with a lot of smart ideas. Right now, I don't think we even know how much we all spend in total on parts or how many employees we all have.
As a collective, I'm more sure independently, they're well aware of what they're spending and have a dungeon full of accountants.
NASCAR Chief Communications Officer Brett Jukes, or Jukes, said the sanctioning body had few said specifics on RTA's structure or purpose, so it would be inappropriate to comment on the team. NASCAR's mission, as it has always been, is to create a fair and level playing field, etc. and so on, NASCAR comment. Kaufman several times likened the RTA to the Formula One Constructors Association, which was a group of F1 teams that formed in 2008 to give teams a united voice with the negotiations with the FIA and the Formula One group. The FOTA's aim, originally, was to negotiate the terms of the new Concorde Agreement. We talk about that a lot. That governs the championship. FOTA was disbanded earlier this year. The formation of the RTA comes as NASCAR enters next season with a new, and this is what everybody says it's really about, $8.2 billion television package. The teams currently get a portion of the money from the TV package, but Kaufman said renegotiating the team's cut was not on the current agenda. Yeah, right. Gio is making a gesture.
What kind of gesture?
It's like an up and down kind of...
Like if I was shaking a bottle?
Like a beer, yeah. Like if you were shaking a beer.
The champagne bottle that Brad couldn't get.
Exactly.
Open there.
We're going to focus on things we can do ourselves that doesn't require a lot of outside help. Some of those topics are beyond our control. If some of those stakeholders want to have conversations, we'd be happy to do that. But it's the things we can do ourselves. We don't need anyone's approval to work on our travel or optimize our buying or promoting that we need to focus on right now. So what I say is that is a shot across the bow of NASCAR saying, hey, we formed this group, but we are not going to bother you about that stuff yet. But
it's a non-threatening group.
It would be great if you decided to do the right thing.
We're not even going to call it a union.
It would be great if you decided to do the right thing with the $8.2 billion of television money. $8.2 billion, folks, that's a lot of money. And everybody wants their share, and it makes sense to me. What if, that will be the next question we play when we come back. What if, say, NASCAR teams decided they didn't want to race somewhere? Now that you've got the nine biggest teams, and Bill France can't go get the next tier drivers, that is not possible, is it? We'll talk about it when we come back, plus Formula One, hippy-tippy fantasy results. We'll make our picks, all of that going down here on WFO Radio. We've opened the phones, Gio, but we have not, not this week. Not a lot going on. I got to say, I did not do a good job of putting it out there in the first couple of minutes, though. So we'll do that during the break. You know, the multitasking with the Twitter machine and Facebook, it's like I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it. But you know what I am good at? Talking about the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Hey, WFO people, here's the deal. You are race fans if you're listening to the show. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you just like sports or you think that the sound of Gio's voice is titillating. But the bottom line is experiences that you will remember for a lifetime are rare. You go do stuff, and I see these people on the social media doing crazy things to get a thrill. to do something exciting, to break out of their just boring normalness, normalcy. Driving a dragster is one of those things. The problem has always been to experience the thrill of driving a dragster. There was a very high bar to entry. You had to first get some drag strip experience. You had to second gain a license. You had to third, and it's probably in reverse order here, you had to generate the capital to purchase the car. And maybe you knew someone that would let you drive their stuff. Maybe. Maybe. But I doubt it, because chances are they're driving it and they don't want you to break it. So it was always easier to jump out of a plane or put a giant rubber band on your ankle or do one of those skyride things. Let me tell you, as someone who has done those things and driven a dragster, driving a dragster is way cooler. Now the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School are giving you the opportunity for a side-by-side racing experience. Courses start at just $399. You can give them a call, 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223, or go to frankhawley.com. They're going into Norwalk. They travel the country. They're based in Gainesville. You can go and get a license. You can learn how to drag race, or you can get the thrill of being in the dragster adventure. You, your corporate team, there's a corporate program, your salespeople, your sales staff, all of that. The Dragster Adventure Program, it's one of a kind in the world. You can race a dragster. Check it out. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more, or give them a call, 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro Classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Hey, man, WFO.
I'm not rolling with that.
WFO.
What's wrong with you?
WFO.
This is what you do with your spare time.
WFO.
Y'all consistently keep bringing that back up.
It's wide open, man.
If y'all can't see that, y'all crazy.
WFO Radio. You think there, should I say spoiler alert? Even though people are listening.
No, no spoiler alert.
Argentina has taken a 2-0 lead in the penalty kicks.
No, it's actually...
Oh, 2-1.
They got a 2 lead. Netherlands has missed twice and Argentina has missed none, is what you're trying to say.
Yes.
It's really not a 2-0 lead.
This is a... Well, they're in penalty kicks, right? Because it's,
yes,
like, it's a 0-0 time.
It's not like they missed the first
These
two.
Goals don't even really count. Oh, that's it. It's over. It's just over. Bring
right,
the body
it's actually
back.
3-1 is the score.
And so Argentina and Germany are going to play for the World Cup in 2014. Very interesting stuff. Who will you be rooting for there, the Giovanni?
Have you Schweinsteiger!
Schweinsteiger!
No, I will tell you that I believe Argentina would win and will win, as in every time the cup has been held in South America, a South American country has won. So why go against that?
That's an interesting trend you bring up there. Very, very interesting.
You know me. I always got nuggets for you.
All right. So we got a lot of ground to cover here, and we're taking forever on this program.
Absolutely. Let's
well,
go.
We got going. Okay. Rapid fire.
What else you got? We already discussed NASCAR.
No, we did not.
Union.
We're way behind.
Results?
Because, no, we're way behind.
Standings?
We're way behind.
All right.
Because what is the result of this thing? Are they going to flex their muscle at any point?
Well, I'm sure they're going to attempt to. Right now, they're not trying to ruffle any feathers. They're trying to save each other some money. But at some point, they're going to ask for a bigger cut of the $8 billion pie. What
and
else is really going to go on here? These are all businessmen, and they're all rich, and they want a bigger cut of the pie.
Simple as that.
Come on.
That's the end
here.
Of the story. Simple as that. That's the end of the story. And the day that they say, we're not going to show up and race... NASCAR does not have the flexibility that they once had in the past to say, hey, who is the second tier group? You guys race. Because that's not the Sprint
no,
Cup
No, because
series.
Most of the – no, and it even wouldn't be because if the nationwide drivers, the vast majority of these are under the umbrella of these bigger teams anyway.
Absolutely. So we have – are witnessing –
So they're positioning themselves and
rightfully so.
Why should one – person be in charge of the whole pie for everyone?
One family, one person. Yes, they built it,
so
absolutely,
we'll see.
But they're building it because of the investment of these other teams. And also, it makes it very difficult for anyone new to come in. New people can't get into the sport. They just can't. It doesn't work. Look at Furniture Row. They're trying. It's not working out. It's just how long can they survive self-funding? Can they self-fund forever? Well, maybe they can. So there you go. That is that regarding the Race Teams Association.
Alliance.
Sorry. Brian France made a big press conference just to finish up on the NASCAR front. And they talked about TV ratings. And they asked a lot of questions that were so-so. I think the guy is very sharp. Brian France's State of the Sport, I believe there's a transcript out there. It was sent to me by the Homestead Miami Speedway people, basically highlighting one quick cut about Homestead Miami Speedway. And Brian France says that for the foreseeable future, the final race will be at Homestead Miami Speedway. But the question was, now that the final race is going to be a championship race, could you see it move around like the Super Bowl? And the answer was maybe. But for the foreseeable future, it will be at Homestead.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's going to stay at a NASCAR-owned track forever.
ISC, absolutely.
Sorry, ISC.
Unless maybe the Race Teams Association, Alliance, will say we want to move somewhere else. It's got to be at a big venue. It's got to be at a big in a big city with good weather. It's November, after all. That eliminates a large portion of the entire country.
Of the schedule, actually.
It's just there's some places that can't handle it at that time. Obviously, California can, and Vegas can, and Phoenix can,
Texas,
and Texas can, and
Florida
can.
Maybe Atlanta, but even
they
then.
Did that for hundreds of years, Atlanta, and they got rained out many, many times, and it was freezing.
And it was also a couple of races closer, a couple of weeks shorter, the schedule. It was
you
34
could,
races back then.
You could definitely get very cold weather in Atlanta in mid-November. So there you have it. So I suggest you read the Brian France State of the Sport. I'm not going to read it because I wasn't shocked or blown away by anything in there. But I do think that Brian France is a sharp guy and has made some good moves. that are in the best interest of the sport. He is not panicking about television ratings. I think that is important to know also. They feel good about where they are in terms of TV ratings. And a lot of his reasoning is because of the second screen stuff. People are just watching. There's more to watch, period. Today I wasted an hour early in the day, not late in the day, just watching stupid videos people are posting on Facebook. Just stupid little Facebook videos. It was early in the day. That was way before you arrived here.
Absolutely, of course. Of course it was.
Facebook has become just nonstop little videos. Like, that's all there was. Like, people don't even have personal statuses anymore. Like, I'm eating a sandwich. Nobody even bothers to do that.
Well, it's that's just, good. Just, I don't really care. People don't care that you're eating a sandwich. Well,
yes, but it's just little videos and pics. Like, look, our great friend Tommy Noodles posted a pic of a model.
No, don't waste our hour on this now. Let's go. Fast and Furious. Let's
look at
go.
This one.
IndyCar.
Batman.
Formula One. WFO Fantasy. Do
look
it.
At me.
Do it. Do it.
Six-cylinder Chevette has a wheel stand. I'm making this as a social commentary. Look at Gnar posts something from Holy Ghost video. This looks cool.
Nobody's home.
How to Stop a Massacre from Grandpa. It's something. I don't know what it is. It's just nonstop videos, though. Rick, go Argentina. Just, this is it. It's nonstop videos. This is your dog on tennis balls. Any questions? A bunch of dogs in a swimming pool with tennis balls. Look at this garbage. WFO Radio, Total Motorsports, John Force, Antoine Brown, Erica Enders Stevens, Andrew Hines, Troy Coughlin on WFO Radio Nitro. Shared by Craig of the Northwest Nitro Fanatics and Dave Stoltz. Thank you, guys. Look at this. Jackie Johnson looking hot. My point is, let's move into the WFO Fantasy results. How about that? I had them up. Where are they? Here they are. Here they are. Because this is always the segue into the Formula One discussion.
Killing me, Eisner.
I think you knew when all those cars crashed that everyone's fantasy team was going to stink. And that's exactly what happened.
I think I saw like 260 points.
286, the weekly winner, Team 14, 286, followed by Up in Smoke, 284, the Elephant Racers and Hockey Dad tied for 278, Steve the Trucker with 262, the Night Kids with 261, Miller Man 2 Brian with 258.
Way to go, Brian.
Go Baby Go with 256, the Dirty Hippies with a whopping 251, got him in the top 10, 248, 001 Red and Uper 1, rounding out the top 10. The most points, 286 for Team 14, and the biggest gainer is Up in Smoke, 284. That is not a reference to Washington or Colorado. Up 14 positions. The biggest loser, plummeting down 13 positions with 137 points, Mrs. Dirty Hippies. The overall leader is Pink Powder Puff Racing with the Pink Tutu and a photograph of the actual Pink Tutu that he is wearing has been posted in the WFO Radio Facebook group.
Oh, great. I'll never see it.
No, you will not see it because you're not a member of the group.
I'm not a member of even your...
Of the group.
Yeah, of your union.
Of it. It's not a, it's an association.
Sorry. I didn't mean to insult anyone.
Yes. But everyone is posting, you know, Fernando Los Chingones, and everybody is posting in the group. The group is becoming a nice community. Low, not a good Fantasy League points week. 28 comments. Everyone posting. You know what the group is? The group is more like a message board.
Oh, okay.
Where everyone just starts posting and texting. And so then I posted the picture of the pink tutu. And Josh, who is the... manager of Pink Powder Puff Racing.
At first, GM.
General manager, general mangler. At first, he didn't want to do it. We mentioned this on the show. You took the picture of the pink tutu. He didn't want to do it because he didn't want to jinx his team. But then when he saw the picture of the pink tutu.
Oh, he found it too comical.
He says, why not tutu engaged? And he uploaded it to Yahoo. And now that is his team's, icon.
Way to go,
avatar.
Pink Powder Puff.
And he says...
I just want to point out that I found that picture.
He says to you, thanks, Gio. Get on Facebook.
Sorry, bud.
And he thinks he needs to watch Bruce Willis movies while eating massive amounts of deer meat and hunting with his bare hands, drinking 50 beers while punching a side of beef to make up for having that pink tutu on.
Manly man stuff.
Yeah, that's all manly man stuff is the comedy of that comment, which we all get. That's one of the backbones of the show, Manly Man Comedy. We all love it. And the bottom line is the Fantasy League continues along, but the leader is the Pink Powder Puff Racing with the Pink 2-2. Second is Kyle Means Petty, 33 points back. Third are the Rumblers, 38 points back. So 33 and 38, respectively. Youper 1 is 135 back. So we got like a three-horse race building right now. But these guys aren't too far back. Robertson Racing is fifth, and the Avenging Abbeys is sixth. 001 Red is seventh. Team Jimmy J is eighth. Rich and Saugus is ninth. Rich and Saugus down two. And Smothered and Covered rounding out the top ten. The Dirty Hippies up 11 positions.
Wow.
See, that's
go,
why
Rich.
This guy, that's why the guy is the best, because he capitalizes. He capitalizes at the right time. He capitalizes. Super Trucker is 12th. The Aussie Battler is 13th. And Team Strange is 14th. And Pavlov's Dog is 15th. Up in Smoke is 16th. South Dakota Alicia, Up in Smoke was up 14. We mentioned that. South Dakota Alicia is 17th. And JG24LKB is 18th. And Little Low, down six positions, Little Low. Kind of sliding back a little bit. But now that we got the stickers on the way.
Taking a little step back.
The luck's going to change. Craig and Sonora is 20th, followed by Clearside and the Mominator. The Man in Brown, down four. Uh-oh. The Tennessee Moneyman slash Iceman is up eight. He is just, he's really making a move, actually. 372 points back. He's on a run. Moneyman is a former champ, right?
I believe so.
Yes, Moneyman is a former champ. He's on the big WFO Fantasy League trophy that is yet to exist, but soon will at some point in the near future.
The plaque, it's a plaque.
A plaque would be so much easier than the trophy I have in my mind. The Northwest Nitro Fanatics had a nightmarish day, down 11 positions, and going 7, and Miller Man are 28th and 29th. Mrs. Dirty Hippie's down 13th to 30th. Barbecue Bob is 36th, and Vegas Baby, that's Bob Smith, is 37th, and Hockey Kid is 40th, down 1, but still way ahead of Giovanni. Black Ice is 45th, and the Car Acrobatic Team is 46th. Hockey Dad is 48th. Restrictor Plate. All that business, he holds steady at 49.
I thought I moved up a little this week.
Eat My Dust is 50th. And let's see, NAR is 54th. Geo Racing, 57th. Up four. You passed Aviator. Spark It Up is 59th. And WFO Joe, 62nd. Down five.
Passed you too.
All right. Down five, man.
But you're ahead of the Night Kid.
And ahead of Kramer Power. And ahead of Bulls Wool. And ahead of Lowe's Jin Gongs.
He's having a hard time down under.
And Max Bett. And Go Baby Go. And Hooper. Well, I got after Hooper for disrespecting the league, and he's only down seven now. So he dropped from 6th to 73rd after not setting his team for 3 weeks, and now he's back on. But he's still beating Patrick's NASCAR Rubin and Mattman. Mattman is 76.
What does that say for you guys?
And Team English, who claims he's trying, although I don't believe it, and Moonchild, and DRT20, and the Jilly Barbecue, and Hot Rod Lincolns, and the Texas Bushwhacker, and Lawn Slave is last, except for Big Bad Don. Lawn Slave has obviously quit as well. Just 2,400. And I think the Texas Bushwhacker and Hot Rod Lincolns have also quit. Disrespecting the league. You gotta fight to the very end, man. To the last I grapple with thee. And may he rest in peace, Big Bad Don. And there are the fantasy results. But now it is time for the Dirty Hippie Fantasy Tippy here on WFO Radio, something we all look forward to.
This is the Dirty Hippies with your tip of the week. Terrible week for everyone last week except for Joe Costello. He was the only one that had a regular week of 160 points. So great job, Joe.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. You'll get to the top 50 before you know it. This week, going to New Hampshire, there's a couple guys that you really need to look out for. Jeff Burton is one. He's always driven good at this track. He hasn't been in the car in a long time. He's probably going to get you, hopefully, a top 20. Ryan Newman always runs good there. And somebody who's really good on the flat tracks who really hasn't shown the results this year is Jamie McMurray. So those are your guys you need to go with. Sturdy Hippies, that's your tip of the week.
There it is, the tip of the week. And so, listen, I just got an interesting thing. Someone's saying that the wide open line is not working. Could that be it?
Well, of course, we're getting
shut out here. But I really don't know what I would change or what needs to be changed. This is working, and now it's not working. What's the story, Giovanni? Do a test call.
I am working on it.
Make it happen here. Let me know if it goes right to voicemail or something, because I really don't understand. What is the situation? You know, let's see. Start Skype when I start Windows. Blah blah. Show me as I've been waiting for 0 minutes.
Yes,
double click.
It rang
start
twice.
Audio setting. Why is it going to that? What a bummer, man. What a bummer. Ray McFree called test. Well, obviously, I'm not going to go through a whole series of stuff right here.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So Richie, giving us a little bit of a tippy. I noticed he totally ignored the Formula One.
Yes, which we have ignored as well. So I guess, folks, the phones will not be open tonight for some sort of mystery problem that has plagued us from last week with Rich and Saugus. Remember that?
Yeah, maybe Rich ruined the phone.
Maybe. Something has happened. What are we going to do? But at very least, we're not getting shut out. In fact, the records show that there was like 30 calls coming in. And it just
they're all leaving messages right there. Maybe we'll get to the messages.
Well, where are the messages? Where is the ringing? Where is anything? What's going on here? Where's the engineer? Where's the engineer in this place? Nothing works here. I hate this place. I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here. Show me as a way when I've been active for 0 minutes. I double click. I don't know. I'm moving on, though, folks. I'm moving on. The British Grand Prix and Formula One. Lewis Hamilton wins the race. Valtteri Bottas and Daniel Ricciardo rounding out the podium. Nico Rosberg was winning and broke, and now the points have come together big time.
Didn't I tell you the only reason to watch was to see which Mercedes would break?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, weren't they a minute ahead of everybody?
It seemed like it. I don't think it was quite that much, but they were about 2 seconds
I don't think
a lap
they were,
faster than everyone.
I think they were a minute.
I guess that would translate to a minute.
Ahead.
Over half the race.
Yeah. It's not interesting. You know, last night I was talking with Giancarlo Fisichella, former Formula One number two driver at Ferrari, and we were talking about the whole state of Formula One. And, you know, he said that he misses the sound, and they know that there's pros and cons to the new technology, but it's just not as exciting when you've got one team just dominating the way Mercedes is dominating. And it's unfortunate.
Well, it's like I said, the only reason to watch is to find out if they're going to break.
Yeah. And then I had a brief conversation with two-time Formula One champion and two-time Indy 500 winner Emerson Fittipaldi. And we waxed nostalgic about the times that we made. He took me for a couple of laps around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in a Z06 Corvette. And I said to him, do you remember that? And he says, yes, 2008. And he was obviously getting over the defeat of Brazil in the World Cup, but we still spent some time together. You like the way I'm doing this name-dropping stuff, huh? It's pretty cool.
I love it. It's
great. I like it. Big time. The Daryl Gwynn Foundation had an evening with Emerson last night. It was a charity event in Fort Lauderdale at the Fort Lauderdale Ferrari and Maserati dealership, which is also an event venue. And it was very, very cool. They gave away a power wheelchair to this beautiful young lady named Isabella, who is a senior in high school and just loved it. But some of the guests in attendance, obviously the guest of honor was Emerson Fittipaldi, but our great friend Joey Coulter was there. Camping World Truck Series racer, and Giancarlo Fisichella was there. Even Enrique Bernaldi, who is very, very well known for holding back a driver from passing him at the Grand Prix of Monaco. Who was that? Was it David Coulthard, I believe? Hated him like poison. And you know who else was there? Captain Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch.
Oh, no way. It's not the first time we've run into him.
Sorry. Yes, no, a different captain.
Oh, not that one?
Different one. I did not know this.
How many captains are there?
I think there's like seven.
Interesting.
Yes. And Captain Wild Bill and I took a photo. We were doing a lot of celebrity stuff out there. It was actually very, very cool. But most importantly, I get to drop little nuggets like me and Giancarlo talking Formula One. Bottom line, it's a two-horse race right now. The best moments of the race were Alonso and Vettel battling for fourth and fifth. Pretty much. It was wildly exciting.
Alonso valiantly holding Vettel behind him, lap after lap after lap, it seemed, for like the whole race.
Until Vettel got by, which he should have been able to get by immediately, as Alonso's driving a sled. So much so that basically the entire technical staff at Ferrari was fired.
Cleaning house, the way it should be done.
Mariachi, getting the job done. Firing everybody. Hiring people from Red Bull, hiring people from Mercedes, Mariachi.
No, not the same guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mariachi with T's. But I think this is a good thing for Ferrari. I think we should be excited. We should be pumped up.
Yeah, I heard they were poaching engineers and all kinds of stuff.
That's how you got to do it.
Designers and
get them in
here.
This
guy and that guy from that team and other teams.
They wanted to break the chain. That's what they said. They wanted to break the chain. They went, okay, it's not working. We need fresh start. Start from scratch. You guys, get in there. Start from scratch. And I think that's the right move at this point. We're just so far behind. Nico Rosberg leads Lewis Hamilton by 4 points, and that's really all you need to know. Daniel Ricciardo is third, and Fernando Alonso is fourth. If Fernando could finish third this year, that would be great. Best of the rest. But right now, Ricciardo looks to have a pretty decent lead. The next race is in Germany, 10 days from now. What will change? Not much, I do not think.
It'll be a battle by the Mercedes up front.
All right. When we come back, we're
going to... What about IndyCar?
Well, we're going to do that
quick
after,
JPM?
After the picks.
All right.
I've been dropping the IndyCar in there. You want to drop it in right here?
Let's do it.
Juan Montoya at Pocono wins the race this weekend, the Iowa Corn 300. And I'm actually glad you brought this up, Gio. Because, you know, last night I was having a conversation with this year's Indy 500 winner, Ryan Hunter-Reay. And we were talking a little bit about his past as a South Florida. What are you laughing at? What is this?
I'm not laughing at anything.
What's so funny about that?
Here?
You know, me and Ryan and his beautiful bride, who I joked is more famous than he is after the performance and the conclusion of the Indy 500. We talked about, you know, what it was like to win the Indy 500. We talked about the IndyCar race in Fort Lauderdale. And how that is now on hold because of a couple of different things. But he feels very confident about this weekend's race, the Iowa Corn 300. And I thought it was cool, you know? Me and Emo and Giancarlo and Ryan Hunter-Reay all hanging in Fort Lauderdale. One thing about Hunter-Reay that he said that I am very happy I got him on the record. At least this is what he said to me. That South
Did
Florida,
you have the tape recorder on?
No, I didn't want to break the moment, man. This was just guys hanging out, Gio. You know, sometimes you got to step away from the work environment and just be the guys having a beer hanging out. And that's what we were doing. This was personal time. This wasn't work time. This was, you know, just hanging. South Florida is the number three city for motorsports and motor racing in the country.
Wow.
Hunter-Reay is on board with it.
Oh, so you kind of just threw that out there at him?
Yeah, what do you think about this, Ryan? He goes, absolutely. He goes, everybody lives here. He goes, everyone involved in racing has got something to do with South Florida. He goes, I totally get Indianapolis and Charlotte, North Carolina, sure, home of NASCAR. But third, definitely South Florida. 100%.
Way to throw your takes out there.
Yes. Oh, I got him on board on a couple of them. It was great stuff. But again, that was kind of private stuff. We're hanging out. Hopefully that's funny. Anyway, Montoya winning at Pocono. Montoya,
I think that's big. I
back
think that
on
shows
top.
You a lot about Montoya.
You think it shows a lot about the IndyCar series.
I do.
Yeah. You want to drop your take in, or you want to just be coy about it?
I just think that now we see Montoya win a race who wasn't even there last year, and we saw it Indy. We had Kurt Busch and Montoya both in the top 10, maybe even top 7 if or something, I believe, and... It just kind of shows you the level of competition there,
you
in
think,
my opinion.
He's running for a pretty good team, you know, Penske. And this guy has won the Indy 500 in the past and the Grand Prix of Monaco and is an acclaimed open-wheel guy who happened to go on like a little NASCAR sidetrack.
Like on a decade hiatus.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, this guy's roots are in go-karts, and so you go back to your roots like riding a bike.
So you
I
think if
know.
Tony Stewart went back, he would just start winning races?
Too fat. He's too fat. But, and Tony Stewart never raced against these. He won in IRL in its first years. He never was racing against the international superstars. They were all in kart. I don't want to diminish his open wheel championship, but the facts are the facts. You know what we did not talk about? We did not talk about Kimi Raikkonen's horrific crash. Bottom line, he's okay, though. And hey, the Colombians are celebrating Montoya's win. They say that it's almost even better than winning the World Cup. Do you believe it?
Not at all.
No. Good move.
I would say the Colombians probably don't care that Montoya won.
Well, here on IndyCar.com, there's a headline that says, Colombians celebrate with Montoya.
The Colombians I know might dispute that, but...
Maybe this is like family members or something. Yeah, I've heard that the Colombians don't like Montoya very much.
That's what I've heard, too.
I've heard it. That's going around.
From the horse's mouth.
Well, there you have it. All right, when we come back, we're going to make picks and then get up on out of here. I would like to give my sincere apologies to everyone who tried to call in. You're trying to call in as we speak. We have no idea what's going on. This is a confusing situation, and I don't even know where to begin.
Look, I don't know. I'm looking at the Skype dashboard. It looks exactly the same as it always does. I have no understanding of this. Next week, we'll have to do it again. Save your commentary.
Or come up with a new one.
Or that. We'll be back after this right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Red Line has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Red Line motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
WFO.
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 WFO!
WFO.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO!
Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party. If you're threatening in the back, I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease
Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of week once again for the WFO Radio Handicappers. Pick you winners for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action this weekend. The action will be in Loudoun, New Hampshire at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, the Sprint Cup Camping World 301. That's your boy, Camping World, the Prophet.
Marcus. Lemonis.
You still watching that? We haven't talked Prophet.
Well,
we
they're
haven't
not,
talked Shark
they're
Tank
not
anymore.
On.
I think they got a new one coming soon. I saw
That's
them.
That's what I mean. They're in reruns.
They're in reruns. I saw the one with the car dealership, and obviously Shark Tank is just going like gangbusters. Everyone loves the Shark Tank. But Marcus is really good. But we did not pick a winner last week. No one picked Eric Almirola, with the exception of me saying that someone out of the norm might win. But that really doesn't count.
We'll give you a little credit on that, but that's it.
Give the track and the race the credit. But here are the odds for the Camping World 301 and New Hampshire Motor Speedway. The favorite, Jimmy Johnson, 5-1. Jeff Gordon is 7-1. Brad Keselowski is 15-2, which is 7.5-1. Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick are 8-1. Matt Kenseth is 10-1. Casey Kane is 12-1. Kyle Busch is 12-1. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 12-1. And those are the drivers that are available for our favorite pick. Now the dark horses. We make two picks a week. A favorite and a dark horse. Dark horses are 15-1 or greater. Dark horses include Clint Bowyer and Joy. Tony Stewart at 15-1, Tony Stewart at 18-1, Kurt Busch at 20-1, Brian Vickers at 25-1, Carl Edwards at 30-1, Ryan Newman at 30-1, Kyle Larson at 30-1, and Jamie McMurray at 30-1. At 40-1, you've got Greg Biffle. At 60-1, you've got Paul Menard. At 75-1, you've got Martin Truex Jr. At 100-1, coming off his win, Eric Almirola. He just won last week. Let me bet the house on this guy. He's going back to back. 100-1.
It's not going to happen.
Jeff Burton is 150-1. Marcos Ambrose is 150-1. Austin Dillon is 150-1. Danica Patrick is 300-1. And the field, all drivers not yet named, 100-1. And those are the odds for the Camping World 301. The order is Giovanni, Bob, Tom, and myself. Giovanni will be going first.
Woohoo! All right, all right, all right. I'm picking first. And as I look up and down the odds, it's a tough choice. New Hampshire, kind of flat track. I'd say it's similar to Richmond and Phoenix. And so as I look up and down the odds and I think of, well, Richmond and Phoenix, who ran well there? Well, Harvick won Phoenix. And he's been like one of my favorite drivers ever since he got me back into this Vegas picks for this year after last year. So give me Harvick as the favorite. And as I look down, I'm really almost surprised that this guy is a long shot. I was really tempted to go with Tony Stewart because I know he runs well here historically and the summer's heating up and he had a good shot last week if it wasn't for the wreck. But I didn't go with him. I say I'm going to wait till he starts running, finishing better. So give me Joey Logano. He won at Richmond.
Joy.
And Harvick won at Phoenix.
Joy.
So if those are the tracks that you use as comparison, give me those two guys. There you have it.
Wow. Kevin Harvick and Joy. I love the Joy pick. I like that one. Maybe even better than the Harvick pick. And that brings us to Bob Smith from William Hill, the home of betting. He is back, and he is bigger and better than ever.
Hey, guys. WFO. Man, what a race at Daytona. Unbelievable. Knocked us all out. It was not a great race for us. But you know what? We're going from crazy to predictable. If you look at New Hampshire, I mean, all you got to do is look at the other flat tracks and look at past New Hampshire races, and you get an idea of who does well here. And I just have to say, Gio, I think you made some great picks. Of course, they're not going to win.
Bob.
Mine are going to win, but I'm just letting you know. For my favorite, I'm going to just go right back to the top. I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson. I went back and forth between Jeff and Jimmy, and I just figured I'm going to go with Jimmy now because, I mean, it's been a few races since he won, so it's bound to change now. For my long shot, I'm going to go with a guy that's done well here. I'm going to go with Ryan Newman. Plus, I'm getting 30-1. I think it's a great long shot for me.
I like
Plus,
that pick.
We're in New Hampshire. You got to love it. All right, guys, enjoy the race, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Wow, Bob Smith from William Hill, the home of betting, who set the odds, takes Jimmy Johnson and Ryan Newman. Both great picks. Can't go wrong with that. Next up, Tommy Noodles, America's favorite funny man. He is a comedian. He is a funny man. He is a happy man. He's building models. Here's Tommy Noodles.
WFO. It's that time of week again where we get to make our picks. To be honest with you, I have no idea what happened last week. I, you know, missed it, and then there was wrecks, and then there were all kinds of things. I was sitting in the airport trying to watch it. Who knows what happens? I'm still confused. I don't know. But looked at the graphs and the charts. Doesn't look like I'm going first, so, you know. But it's coming to my neck of the woods. Only like an hour away. I might be up there. If you're planning on coming up this weekend, give me a call. Maybe I can hitch a ride with you. We'll see what's going on, but I've stalled enough. Let's start with the picks. Let's go long shot. Long shot this week, very, very hard. I looked, I stared, I looked at numbers, I looked at the racetrack, I looked at, you know, rolling dice, putting people's names in a hat, throwing it up and down. Couldn't come up with anybody. Every name I threw up in the air, they all stayed, they all fell down. So, wasn't able to pick anybody that way. But let's go Kurt Busch. out of all the people who are left over, why not? Really, you know, he's got the team to do it. I don't see it as a problem. It's just he's got the Tommy Noodles curse. Whenever you got Tommy Noodles on you, chances are your car is just going to blow up into flames and you're not going to be able to do it. But now he's got the double curse because I picked him as my third 14 driver of the year. Now I'm picking him to win, you know, up in the Northeast. So we'll see what happens to him. And then for my favorite, everybody turn off the radio. Everybody run away. Don't send hate mail to me. Send it to Joe because nobody knows where I am. Oh, wait, I just told you I was in the Northeast. But I'm going Junior. Junior! you know, and it's funny because I just finished talking about the Tommy Noodles curse, and now I talked about, you know, Junior. So hate threats, send them to somebody else. I'm not receiving them anymore. But let's put Junior on the board. I finally feel comfortable. How long has he been in NASCAR? You know, when do I pick Junior to win a race? Come on, seriously, that doesn't happen. And you know, unless it's a Talladega or something. But this is a racetrack I think that he can do very, very well at. I think that this is the team that's going to do it. So put me on the board. I got Dale Earnhardt Jr., and I got Kurt Busch, and we'll see what happens. And I've given up hope on going first, so I won't even say it this week. But I'll talk to you first next week.
Says Tommy Noodles. He takes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Kurt Busch, and that's aggravating to the Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans out there. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Horribly.
What if Tommy picks Dale Jr. in the chase and curses him?
I don't know. What are you going to do to him?
I don't know. Like, what if Dale Jr. is having, like, a great run and he's in the mix and then Tommy Noodles picks him and jinxes him?
That wouldn't be good.
That would be bad, right?
That'd I think maybe terrible. We I should. I think Tommy wouldn't do that.
Listen, Dale Jr. should not have to deal with that extra pressure. I think we should maybe pass a rule. I'm just putting it out there for consideration of the WFO Radio Nation. That may be coming close to the chase, considering the extra challenge that it is for Dale Jr. to win a championship period and how big a deal it would be. Tommy Noodles be banned by us from picking him. Just putting it out there. Only in the chase.
Okay.
You know, for consideration. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a bad idea. But maybe not. All right, now it's time for me to pick. Because Tommy Noodles takes Dale Jr. and Kurt Busch. This is for the Camping World 301. You know when you're going last? There's not a lot on the table. Normally, if Jimmy Johnson was on the table, my rule is to pick Jimmy Johnson, but he is not. Bob picked him. And so that leaves, like, Kyle Busch. That leaves Casey Kane. That leaves Matt Kenseth. It leaves Denny Hamlin. That leaves Jeff Gordon. It leaves Brad Keselowski. And of those drivers, I feel the driver with the best relatively flat track package, especially based on the Joey Logano pick that Giovanni made, would be the Penske guys, which means I'm taking Brad Kay as my favorite. I like that, Brad Kay. Mark it down. And you guys are going to regret not having taken Brad Kay, getting over the stitches and all that. Now, Dark Horse, that's a different story. There's some drivers that are available that I could go with, like Brian Vickers coming in off his big second place at Daytona, which has nothing to do with anything. Or Carl Edwards. Carl Edwards is a guy that sneaks up there and wins the races like this. I love the Ryan Newman pick. Kyle Larson could do some damage here. But you know where I'm going to go? I'm actually going to go in a totally different direction. I'm going to go with best talent available, in my opinion. Tony Stewart, 18-1. He's out there. This is a track that he has had success at. Why would I pick anybody other than Tony Stewart with the drivers that are left remaining? So my philosophy is always to go with the best talent available when you're picking last. And Tony Stewart certainly fits that bill this week.
Not going to argue with that. I hope you win.
So Joe takes Brad Keselowski and Tony Stewart. And Tommy Noodles takes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Kurt Busch. Bob Smith from William Hill, the home of betting, takes Jimmy Johnson and Ryan Newman. And Giovanni in Miami, the realtor, takes Kevin Harvick and Joey Logano. And those are the picks for the Camping World 301. Subscribe to WFO Radio. You will like it. Any other final thoughts here, Giovanni, as the Poker Action Line guys are, like, at the door waiting with bated breath to come in here and do the poker show? You got anything else that you want to throw out there? I had a couple of notes that I wanted to mention, just that I'm really liking the Autotrader.com Dukes of Hazzard commercial.
Yeah, old school.
I don't like how they're dissing the General Lee, though.
Why, because they're looking for a new car?
Yeah. They're looking. They said they basically flat out dissed the General Lee. They said that the old girl is not as good as she used to be because cop cars are faster.
Well, that makes sense. All the new cars are faster. I mean, any one of these kind of crappy brand new cars, family sedans, are faster than.
Yeah, that's true. But still, it's the General Lee. But they're in the air. Maybe there's going to be a second part to it. I thought that.
But maybe they could upgrade the engine package or something.
Maybe, or they go out there and get a Challenger, used Challenger.
Yeah, one
Challenger,
of the newer ones.
Something like that.
Yeah, upgrade the car and just paint it the same way.
Maybe, and maybe that's in the future. But
maybe that's what they're getting at. Maybe that's what the play is. Relax. I'm sure it's going to be a series of spots. It's not going to be the only one.
I hope it is. I hope it is. We shall see. But other than that, that's pretty much it for this week's WFO. Obviously, 4th of July weekend was spectacular. Hopefully you had a great one as well. Next week, I am heading to Denver, Colorado. Not this weekend, next weekend, for the Mopar Mile High Nationals. If you are a WFO radio listener and you're going to be out there.
Vandermeer. I hear great things about that track.
I hear great things, too.
And the ownership.
I'm very concerned about the altitude, but some WFO listeners are already...
Oh, you're going to be grasping for air.
Yeah, I am a little concerned about that.
I would be, too.
All the running around and spinning of plates that I do. The bungee jumping from the airplanes, et cetera and so on. But we'll see. If you're going to be out there...
Got to tough it out.
Tough it out. And, of course, this great weekend. Hey, if you're a WFO radio listener and you make it to this point, the best thing you can do for us is let people know about the show and give them the little speech about what it's all about. Share the show, retweet the show, give the speech. Patronize our sponsors. Hawley, Rodak, Redline Oil, Wilson Manifolds. Those guys are on board with WFO. We certainly appreciate them. They're the ones that make the show go. Without the sponsors, there is no show. That's me and Gio. We have to go to the used car lot. Go out there and do the lot lizard thing. So patronize the sponsors. Buy some barbecue stuff. Do the Dragster Adventure. Order some Redline Oil on Amazon.com. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.